Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So here we have another star fall from heaven, and we see a star. It's not referred to what we think of as an astronomical sense, a giant ball of gas, but it is an apparently bright object in the sky, a relatively small compared to the sun anyways. Actually, in the fourth trumpet, it's a great star. Third trumpet, sorry. It's a great star, a great star. I saw a great star, something very bright. But here it is connected as not just any object, but actually as an angel. In the beginning of the book, the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches. So the messengers of the churches, or however you want to look at it, but a star can represent a messenger. And this is a messenger also, a messenger of doom. I want to talk a bit about the time sequence here, because the first four trumpets I take to be very sequential and pretty concrete events that you'll be able to look and see those signs. The trumpets that follow will be understood by those with the seal of God, but those who have not the seal of God will succumb to the deception and to the misunderstanding. They won't understand or recognize what these things are. And there's definitely a lot of symbolism here. It's obvious that these are not normal locusts. Locusts eat grass. They eat green things. They harm trees. They do all kinds of devastation to agriculture and so on. But these do not hurt the trees and the grass, as the hail and fire in the first trumpet. And here's an interesting thing. You know, I've heard people say, you know, that, oh, hail and fire, you know, the grass in the first trumpet represents the people, because the people is grass. All flesh is as grass. And that's a symbolic meaning that has been used. I don't think it applies there. Simply because, you know, at some point there has to be a distinction made. If everything is just symbols in the former prophets, in the time of Moses, right? When Pharaoh had a dream, the seven fat years were swallowed up by lean years. In his dream, it was seven fat cattle devoured by seven lean cattle. And there was certainly a definite, you know, literal meaning to that, of the lean devouring the fat, regardless of whatever symbolic meaning. Yes, the cattle represented years, but no matter how you looked at it, the lean devour the fat. And so also, at some point in prophetic symbology, we have to look for the concrete meaning. And everything in these things is not going to be a symbol. For instance, he opens the bottomless pit, and there's smoke out of the pit, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Is that just awesome? There's no actual darkening. There's no actual pit. You know, at what point do we draw the line? And that's an important question. And I think that the Spirit of God ultimately reveals this to us in that time. The main thing we want to do is be prepared for those times. And I've talked about that earlier in Revelation. What do we do to be prepared? We seek God. We try to obtain the promises. We become like Christ so that when the hour of temptation comes, there's no temptation that is more powerful than the Spirit of God working in us. God is always working in us. You know, if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how shall you contend with horses? If the temptations that surround us now are too great for us, how will we deal with these temptations? Because these are temptations. When the events start to take place that are written of, because I have to draw a correlation between the trumpets and then everything else that is written in Revelation. It's kind of hard to teach the book of Revelation piecemeal. I've already made a lot of references to future things that are going to be written. My mind runs ahead to chapters 11, 12, 13, 17. And the reason is because from those chapters we learn that, you know, at the seventh trump, at the last trump, Jesus Christ returns. And prior to that, we know that he will not come before there come a falling away and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So since the trumpets cover from the beginning of the time of the end to the end, because that's how I see them. They herald the opening and the closing. The trumpets contain everything that you would see in the book of Revelation. A lot of times people look at it as like, okay, there's the seals, and then there's the trumpets, and then there's the bowls, and they're all like sequential. But I see more of an overlap. The trumpets are not followed by the bowls necessarily, but they overlap. And then you see that in the, you know, there was lightnings and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. When Christ returns in the seventh trump, there's thunderings and lightnings and earthquake and great hail. At the end of the vials, there's thunderings and lightnings and earthquake and a great hail. Those markers are there for a reason, to alert us to an overlap. So, during the trumpets, we need to see Antichrist and his workers. As it is written in the book of Revelation chapter 12, that there's going to be a war in heaven, which I take to be future. Michael and his angels fight against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they're cast out. And it says, "Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, for he knows he hath but a short time." The devil is going to come and have a short time, which I believe refers to the time of the tribulation. I mean, you could say it refers to the whole of the human existence, which in the eternity of God is a very short time. But I think this is said